From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. You may be able to guess who my next guest is simply by listening to that wonderful trumpet sound, or you might figure out if I said he's been a major jazz statesman for many moons now. And over the last 20 years, he's produced 33 jazz and 11 classical records, that he's won 9 Grammy Awards, even a Pulitzer, for his epic recording of Blood on the Fields. Today, he's said to be the most recognizable jazz musician alive, and I can't argue with that. This year, his impeccable trumpet sound has stamped its impression on the Blue Note label for the first time with a new CD. It's called The Magic Hour, and it represents the more playful side of a seriously brilliant musician who goes by the name of Wynton Marsalis, who joins us now from my bureau in New York City. Skane, nice to have you on, man.
Oh, yeah, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
How does it feel to be the most recognizable jazz musician in the world?
Very anonymous. No, man, it's a joke that we tell all the time where people say, man, I loved you on The Tonight Show. Oh, yeah, Branton, sign this for me, baby. I saw you playing with the Grateful Dead, man. I like your work you did with Sting. I said, no, that's my brother. They said, well, anyway, y'all look alike. It's one of y'all. You can put his name on if you want.
That's amazing. As a matter of fact, I saw one of your brothers, Delphio's name is on the back of this CD.
Right, Delphio produced it.
What's that like? I mean, I know obviously everybody knows the story of the wonderful and talented musical family that you come from, but how important is it for you, if at all, to have a brother help oversee a project like this?
Well, it's mainly a matter of quality because we don't really get along. People in families always ask me, what about you and your brothers? I say, we just like everybody else's family, just a dysfunctional and mad at each other for some stuff that happened in 1976. But for me, you know, I mean, I love Delphio. I think he did a great job on this album. And, you know, when I sent my tape away to college to audition for different colleges like Juilliard and Eastman, Delphio made the tape in the front of our house on my daddy's reel-a-reel.
Right.
And we were sounding all country on the tape. So, you know, we have a tradition. And, it always, even though it has its ups and downs, it's family. So, you know, it has that feeling.
Let me probe that a little bit further because, as you know, I'm from a big family. I've got 9 brothers and sisters, and so if anybody understands that dysfunctional family, I certainly understand it. But help me understand this a little bit better because, you know, you and I have known each other for a number of years, and I know that you're serious about both things. I mean, I say both things, I mean to suggest that you are serious about the fact that you and Delphio don't always get along, but you're also serious about the fact that you enjoy having his input on this project. How is it that you can work with somebody, brother or not, who you don't get along with, and yet you entrust your prized possession, your work, your sound, into his hands?
Because he's as serious about the sound as I am about the music. Mm. And his own personal pride will overshadows whatever it is that goes on between me and him. Mm. I mean, he's professional, and he his whole life has been that, listening to tapes, studying. He started doing that when he was 8 or 9 years old. Right. So, I mean, I know the amount of work that he's done. He went to school to study it. He's listened to album after album after album, studied setup after setup after setup, work year after year after year. Mm-hmm. So it's a very serious thing to him.
I'm not trying to get too deep here, but you keep setting me up, and I keep being intrigued by your comments, as I always am, Skane. When you say he's as serious about the sound as you are about the music, with one of your caliber and of your talent, I didn't know that one could distinguish between the sound and the music. It's not all the same for you?
No, the sound on an album is totally different from the music. It requires another skill. Adelphio is a musician also, but you put me behind a control board, and I don't have any idea of what to do. Mm. You know, my producer that I've had for many years, a guy named Steve Epstein, and one time I was aggravating him about the sound on something, and he pulled all the knobs down. He said, okay, you mix it. And I was arrogant enough to start trying, and then about an hour later, he looked at me and said, now, do you understand the difference between critiquing and being able to do? Mm. There's a big difference between being able to get sound and being able to play music.
On this Magic Hour, and it is indeed an hour of magic when you get a chance to sit and listen to it, you've gone back to the quartet. What brought that on?
Well, the album I did before that was called All Rise, and it had like 200 people on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of written out music, so I wanted to go in the opposite extreme and pare things down to as few people as I could and have a lot of improvised music.
It sounds, and maybe it's just my ear, and, you know, forgive me because I'm no jazz critic. I just know what I like to hear, and I like to hear your stuff. But this particular CD, Wynton, sounds less complicated, more mellow to me. Is that what you intended?
Right. It's not. There's fewer voices. The architecture is much simpler. It's like the type of songs you're more used to hearing. More of the complexity comes more out of just the fundamental nature of the material. And it's more like a party, like the songs that we would play through at my house, playing the piano, and clowning around, singing, acting a fool.
We're listening right now to track number 5 that I love called Big Fat Hen. Explain for me or share with me whether or not there's a name for what the drummer is doing here on this cut.
Okay, that groove is a combination of a samba beat and a New Orleans groove. Mm-hmm. So if the New Orleans groove is boom, 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 like that. And the samba is yakata, kata, 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 kata. So I put those two together. So it's like jakata, kata, 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 kata. So it's like it has that kind of hybrid quality of those two grooves.
I gotta tell you, Skane, this track number 7, Sophie Rose, Rosalie, has got to be one of the prettiest tunes you've ever written, if you ask me. Obviously, you like it. You put it on the CD.
No, man. You know, I appreciate you saying that. And that's just more of a wistful tune. It's kind of sentimental. It's just about a person in school who everybody would pick on. Because mm-hmm. This album is about kids. So, you know, kids, we always think of kids as like light and airy and joyous. But kids have another side to them, too. Like mm-hmm. They have a particular type of cruelty that they can engage in. So this is about like the person in your class who was real, real sweet, who had them real, real thick glasses, mm-hmm. and people would mess with them, but they still were just as sweet as could be.
Mm. Speaking of kids, how's the program Jazz at Lincoln Center coming along?
Oh, man, we're doing great. You know, we're getting ready to get in our new home in
exactly.
October.
Yeah.
Frederick P. rolls off. We're still trying to raise money. Now, anybody out there who's looking to help an arts organization, Jazz Lincoln Center.
You've been raising it. I mean, to your credit, which is one of the reasons why I love you. You know I love you to death, but I love you in part because of your talent, because of the time you spend with kids all across this country and indeed around the world, and you really have committed yourself to this project. You have raised a whole lot of money for this building.
Right. We've raised $113 million.
Man.
But we have to get to 128.
Yeah.
So that last little bit is, oof.
Yeah.
That's like that marathon, the last 2 or 3 miles of that marathon.
Yeah, I did that a couple weeks ago. I know what that, you're in LA. I know what that feels like.
Man, congratulations, man.
Thank you, man. Diane Reeves, you can't fade Diane Reeves on this CD, man.
Man, I love Diane, man.
I feel so lonely tonight.
You know, she has the jazz artistic program out in LA, and man, you know, what can I say about her? We just played at Disney Hall, and she came out and sang with us. She's like a part of our family, and we all love her. She's such an impeccable musician,
mm-hmm.
and so soulful, and carries so much of the feeling of things. She has such a love for kids and for education. You know, we just love her.
The latest CD by Wynton Marsalis is called The Magic Hour. As always, Skane, a delight to talk to you, man. All the best to you, and I'm proud of you, brother.
Hey, man, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'll see you.
Join me tonight for my new television program on PBS. My guest, Illinois Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate, Barack Obama, and actor Jim Belushi. That's tonight on Tavis Smiley on PBS. Tuesday night on Tavis Smiley, a rare and exclusive conversation with the CEO of Walmart, Lee Scott. To listen to this show or past shows or tapes and transcripts, visit NPR.org or call 877-NPR-TEXT. More information on what I'm doing is available at TavisTalks.com. The Tavis Smiley Show is a news and opinion program created by NPR and the African American Public Radio Consortium. The show is produced by Cheryl Flowers, edited by Philip Martin, and directed today by Ben Elkin. Our technical director is Theo Mondo. Sherry Hendrickson is our engineer. Our production staff includes Toya Baker, Roy Hurst, Corey Moore, Devin Robbins, Therese Sims, Nathan Thompson, and Tashima Walker. Our theme music was composed by George Duke. I'm Tavis Smiley. This is NPR. Keep the faith.